Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while former Phillies field reporter Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch.
Play ball!
And happy Sunday morning to you all, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We are powered by Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 if you're listening to us in the Trenton area, and WDAS AM around the rest of the city. You can also listen to us by downloading the iHeartRadio app, searching for Fox Sports The Gambler, and you can listen to us crystal clear anywhere worldwide. We're broadcasting to you live again from Sports and Social at the brand new Philly Live Casino down at the Sports Complex in South Philadelphia. Sports and Social is home to the region's first FanDuel Sportsbook, and with a full slate of Major League Baseball action, Green Jacket Sunday at the Masters, and Night 2 of WrestleMania 37, this is the place to be. I'm Chris Sack, and I'm sitting alongside, yet again, my co-host and partner in crime, Greg Murphy. Murph, what's up, man?
Good morning, and hey, when last we spoke, the Phils were undefeated. Things have changed a little bit since then.
Yeah, the landscape definitely has changed, Murph.
A little bit, but a big game tonight on national television. Phils and Braves, Phils need to come to bat tonight. They need to come and show what we saw back here in Philadelphia. So it's an important one tonight.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not feeling entirely too comfortable about this after Matt Moore's, first start of the season. You know, looked good through the first part of the lineup, you know, when he got through the first lineup in the, in the first couple innings. And then hit the second time around, it was walk central. So I'm not feeling comfortable about him going up against that Braves lineup tonight. But, hey, we are going up against wannabe Cliff Lee, Drew Smyly.
Yeah, and Smyly has pitched okay since he's been back. But, again, I think what Matt Moore showed in his first outing is kind of what we're going to expect out of Matt Moore. He's going to be good at times. He's going to be, not so good at other times. That's what baseball's fourth starters are all about, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Right across the league. So and the Phils are going to get a chance to see Drew Smyly, and he's in a similar situation. So you just need the bats to come alive. I don't think we've quite seen this Phillies offense that I think we were all pretty confident about coming into the season. It really hasn't all come together for them yet, so it's gonna happen eventually.
Right.
Maybe it happens tonight.
Well, before we do our week in review and we look back on the week that was, and the Phillies had a 3-3 record since last Sunday, we do have some business to take care of, Murph, and we are giving people here at Green Legion Radio and on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. So take it away, Murph.
We are givers. That's what we do here. So yeah, we're gonna give away another Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Another ticket giveaway on the show. We're going to give away two tickets to the Monday, April 19th game at 7:05 versus the San Francisco Giants. Your chance to come back, say hi to Gabe Kapler. I know that you want to do that.
I'm going to be there, and I'm going to boo the crap out of him that night, Murph. No doubt about it.
I figured that's what you were going to do. I'm going to go say hello to the guy because I like the guy. But anyway, giving away the two tickets. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the trivia question, and then we need you to put the complete answer. It's a two-part answer. Put the complete answer on one line. You can answer on Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or the Green Legion on Facebook or Twitter. And the first person to get the right answer, both on the same line, is going to win the ticket. So here we go. On August 23rd, 2009, Phillies utility man Eric Bruntlett ended a game against the rival New York Mets with an unassisted triple play. So two-part answer. Who threw the pitch for the Phillies? And who hit the ball into the triple play for the Mets? And if you were with us last week, on last week's show, there was a hint.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you're listening last week, maybe you get a little bit of an advantage. So there you go. We'll have that that answer coming up, and the winner of the tickets in our second block.
Sounds awesome. So why don't we dive right into it, Murph? Because as you said, we're no longer undefeated. I really thought that we had a solid shot at being the first Major League Baseball team ever to go 162-0.
Right.
But as we saw, the wheels fell off, this past Tuesday against the Mets, and we lost our first of the season, and back-to-back losses to start out the series against the Braves. So why don't we look back now on last Sunday, and one of the things that I've noticed, Murph, because we were hyping up Zach Eflin, and he did the job last Sunday. He looked every bit of the part. But the second time through a rotation here, Aaron Nola only four innings pitched. Mm-hmm. Zach Wheeler, you know, no pun intended, the wheels fell off on him in his second start. He was not as sharp against the Atlanta Braves. And then Zach Eflin, probably the better of the three last night, but still not good enough. We're using up too much of our bullpen. We're seeing a little bit too much of David Hale and Vince Velasquez and the lower end of that bullpen. What's something that you've taken away as far as what you've seen out of these three guys since last week, since we last intervened?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the big three in the Phillies rotation, all three were outstanding in their first opportunities, not so outstanding in their second. But the one that I guess, I don't know if concerned is the right word, but the one that made me scratch my head the most was Aaron Nola. He just simply couldn't seem to get anything going in his second start.
Right.
And it's odd to see Aaron Nola in a situation like that. From time to time, look, it happens to everybody. Every major league pitcher is going to have nights where they scuffle. But he pitched so well on opening day, and then to come back and throw in a clunker like he did. I'm really interested to see how he bounces back in his next start. Wheeler, you know, he got squeezed a little bit early in that game in his second start. And I think it started to affect him a little bit, but his command was off. And when he doesn't have his command, then, you know, he is going to struggle. So not as concerned about Wheeler. He still looked good. He was just missing a little bit with his command, so not a problem. And then Zach Eflin came out and, you know, kind of a real bumpy first inning. But after that, he looked like the same pitcher that we had seen in his first outing. So I was encouraged by the way that Zach Eflin was able to come back in that. So if I'm concerned at all, if there's something I want to see next time, it's Aaron Nola. Give me Aaron Nola again. Let me see that he's okay. Let me see that he kind of bounces back. And look, I totally expect that he will, but I look forward to seeing it for sure.
And that Mets lineup is no slouch.
No.
I mean, it's tough to get through. They were making him work. They were making him throw pitches. Kudos to him. He did get out of that jam that he got himself into. No help from the defense, really,
right,
as
that's
well.
True.
So, you know, but I'm right there with you. I think we need to see a little bit more out of Aaron Nola. You are the ace. You are the horse of this staff. You're the one that they look to for leadership on that end of things. And if he can harness his control, and mind you, I don't know what the weather's going to be like in New York City this weekend, but like you said in our inaugural show, he is from the South, so he loves warmer weather. So things are going to get better for Aaron Nola the more the weather tends to warm up.
Sure.
If we're going to look back on this week here and – couple of the talking points that I have. Monday against the Mets, it's their first game of the season. Of course, the COVID outbreak that happened with the Washington Nationals, and we were lucky enough to where we were going to face Jacob deGrom in his first start of the season. You know, like I said last week, we were going to see him regardless. It was either going to be Monday or Wednesday, so, you know, ideally you don't want Matt Moore up against Jacob deGrom, but we came away with the win in that. Now, why did we come away with the win in that game? Because Luis Rojas, the manager of the Mets, said before the game that Jacob deGrom was good for about 100 pitches.
Yeah.
So why did he pull him after six innings and 77 pitches? Because at that point, you just knew the Phillies lineup was like, oh, thank God. They took deGrom out of the game. Yeah. This is our opportunity to get back into it. And they took full advantage of that against former Phillies relievers Trevor May and Aaron Loop. And we were able to, you know, escape with the W after Alvarado made it pretty interesting the ninth inning himself.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting when a manager makes a decision like that. We all remember opening day for the Phillies down there in Atlanta when Gabe pulled out Aaron Nola and everything, you know, went to pot after that for the Phillies. Well,
Nick
guess
Markakis
what?
Walk-off.
This is an exact same scenario. This is exactly what happened to the New York Mets. It's their first game, and their manager, in my opinion, completely overmanages and ends up pulling out his stud for guys coming out of the bullpen who, look, would readily admit, I'm no Jacob deGrom. So it's a head scratcher. Now I get the idea that these guys have to pitch, you know, they're going to make 25, 30 starts this year. You're trying to keep them healthy throughout the entire season. I get all that. But in a game that was tight, in a lineup against a division rival that is playing good baseball, you give them the opportunity, you give them that chance to be like, oh, all right, he's gone, guys. Hey, let's go. You know, if you allow that to happen, well, you know what? More often than not, you're going to see exactly what happened. The Phillies benefited from it. I'm sure Rojas learned from it because
he better have.
You would think
he's going to be out of a job real quick.
It was an egregious mistake, and you know, say what you want about Jacob DeGrom and his love for the New York Mets, and the, you know, he says all the right things, but my goodness, you think that guy's not thinking to himself, if I played anywhere else, maybe I'd have about 30 more wins on my tally?
Yeah. Here's a great stat for you, and this is courtesy of Ryan Spader from Twitter. Mets Jacob DeGrom, and this is after his start against the Marlins yesterday, where he tied a career high with 14 strikeouts, okay, and he still lost the game.
Yep.
So he's made 78 starts over his last four seasons and his 25 victories. Only 25, Murph. 25.
It's crazy.
Think about that, okay? 25 victories, 1.11 ERA. Games he's lost, 20 of them, 3.8 ERA, so it elevates a little bit. In his no decisions, though, which he has 33 of them, 1.76 ERA, and the Mets collectively are 36-42 in those games.
Yeah, think about that. Unbelievable. Think about how many more. I mean, look, wins and losses nowadays in today's baseball don't mean nearly as much as they used to back in the 70s and 80s when guys were going 7, 8, 9 innings routinely. But it just goes to show you that stat of wins and losses means nothing. There's not a team in baseball that wouldn't take Jacob DeGrom right now as their number one starter and roll him out there every 5 days. Despite the fact that if you just looked, you got dropped on the planet Earth and just looked at his wins and losses, you'd be like, "Yeah, this guy's an average pitcher." Well, we know that he's not. We know it really is. It's interesting. And now the Mets players, the position players, I think it was Nimmo that was asked yesterday about this entire phenomenon of them losing games when Jacob DeGrom pitches so well. And now they're being forced to answer questions. You think that's not going to get into their heads every time that DeGrom's on the mound? That, my gosh, we've got to get the big hits. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. You can't play baseball that way. It's hard to play baseball that way. And you know what? Good for the Philadelphia Phillies and the rest of the NL East if they're going to have the Mets thinking like that.
Kind of reminds me of when Cole Hamels used to pitch here, and everyone's like, oh, man, the run production when Cole pitches. But
there's always that guy that doesn't get the run support, but it just seems – so it's uncanny how often it seems to be Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, they grip the bat a lot tighter because really, in reality, all you need to do is just scratch three runs across the plate and you're in great position with Jacob DeGrom on the mound.
No doubt.
So their second game in that series, another talking point here, Murph, and this is something that we've been talking about for quite a few years here. Can you explain the enigma that is Vince Velasquez? Strikes out the side in the sixth, 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And then walks 4 of 5 batters faced in the seventh inning. Can you please? I don't know if you have your degree in psychology here. Can you try and tap into this man's brain for me here?
If I could, I'd probably have a gig over at the ballpark.
You wouldn't be
right
working
now.
With
yeah.
me. Okay, all right. As long as we're agreeing on that, you would be much better off than working with me here.
Look, the Phillies organization, and probably the Houston organization and the Phillies organization have been trying for years to answer that question, because here you have a guy. If you're going to chisel out a ball player or pitcher, a physique, it's Vince Velasquez, a guy with an arm like he has, the stuff that he has. He's got everything you need to be successful in Major League Baseball. And yet, time and time again, and look, the sample size is no longer small. It is a large sample size. Time and time again, Vince just doesn't seem to be able to get out of his own way. And I don't know how else to describe it. I've talked to Vince 100 times. He's a terrific guy who wants to win as badly as anybody else, who wants to be great as badly as anybody else, but for some reason, he cannot take that next step. We see flashes. We've seen flashes every year, and you get that excitement, and you think to yourself, all right, there it is. That's what I thought in his first inning this year. You know, struck out the side, I'm like, he's back. Vince Velasquez is going to be a difference maker, and then you see what you see, and it's like, man, oh man, there's so much talent there, there's so much ability there, but yet he can't put it all together. I don't know. At some point, the Phillies are going to have to move on if it doesn't turn and turn quickly, and it'll be someone else's organization trying to figure it out. I don't know if they ever will.
Right. Well, Murph, real fast before we go into Wednesday's game and we talk about the first two games in the Braves series before we wrap up the
segment
here.
Do we have to do that?
Well, yeah. Hey, what? Listen, listen, man, we're baseball brunch. We're not.
I know.
We're not good baseball brunch. We talk good baseball, bad baseball. Yeah. We've seen our fair share of it over the last decade.
Yeah, we have.
So apparently, we had some audio issues when we gave out our trivia question. So, do you mind giving out the trivia question one more time for me, Murph?
I don't mind at all. All right. So it's a 2-part question. All right. So make sure you put both answers when you send it in to our Facebook or Twitter page or to Green Legion Radio YouTube channel. Here's the question. August 23rd, 2009, Eric Brentland ended a game against the rival Mets with an unassisted triple play. We want to know who threw the pitch for the Phillies and who hit the ball for the New York Mets. So who pitched and who hit it? Triple play ended the game back on August 23rd, 2009.
And make sure you put both the answers in the same line. I don't want Sam to have to jump around and say, all right, it's A and B. We're not doing that
stuff. She works very hard. Yeah.
Absolutely. So speaking of going to bat, the Phillies did just that on Wednesday. Finally, the bats exploded. We got some runs. Rhys Hoskins is off to a fast start here. Not so much the last couple nights, but I mean, same could be said with just about everybody. The first inning home run, he had two doubles and separate at bats, and then Alec Boehm comes up, hits a 3-run shot in the first inning, and Bryce Harper had 2 hits, and the best catcher in baseball. Putting the game on ice with a 3-run home run in the 5th inning. That was good to see, especially after Aaron Nola's performance. And putting the game out of reach, it allowed you to rest those back into the bullpen guys to where you wouldn't have to use them in that game. Although Hector Neris did pitch in the 9th inning, I think it was more so to give him some work.
Yeah.
But with the day off on Thursday, it was beneficial to put the Mets out of their misery early and not have to use the other guys in high-leverage situations.
Yeah, you know, it was a perfect example of what we were talking about to start the show, that this Phillies offense that we touted before the season, and rightly so. You look at what they were able to do last year, it's basically the same bunch of guys back this year with the addition of Alec Boehm for the whole season. You expect that this offense is going to, night after night, kind of carry this team. That's how this team was built. That's what they need. They need good pitching, but we expect this team's going to score some runs. We haven't seen a whole lot of that so far this year, but as Charlie Manuel would say, it's not hitting season yet. But you know what? These games count, too, so you need your guys to come up. This was a great example of what this lineup can do. You know, up and down the lineup, guys were contributing. A couple of long balls, which certainly was good to see. So, yeah, we need to see a couple more of these a week where they're putting up 6 runs on the board, they're putting up 8 runs on the board, and they're making it a little bit easier for their back end of their bullpen. You know, give them a rest here and there because, like we've said time and time again, you can't use them every night.
Right.
So you need to give them a little bit of space, a little bit of wiggle room so that you can use some of those other guys in the bullpen and not have to do it. So, yeah, it was good to see the bats come alive in that game. But then again, they went quiet right after that. So,
and speaking of the last couple nights, and I know we really don't want to hearken on Friday night, the 8-1 loss.
Yep.
But the one thing that stood out to me was here we are. We're in Atlanta again. Opening week of the season again, and our manager forgets the fact that we had a mountain visit. So at least with Kapler, he went out there to make a pitching change, and there was nobody up.
Yeah.
Okay, thankfully for Girardi, who forgot that the pitching coach went out there earlier in the game. Thankfully, we had Brandon Kinsler warming up in the bullpen. He came into the game in that spot, and he actually got us out of it.
Yeah.
In place of Zach Wheeler. So no harm, no foul. What the hell happened there?
You know, it's funny because Joe Girardi is so well respected, that not just as a player, then as a manager. He's, been a manager of the year. He's won a World Series. It just goes to show you how fast the game can get inside that dugout. It really does speed up for these guys at times. And even a guy who's been involved in, 1,000 Major League Baseball games, Joe Girardi, he made a mistake. I mean, it's that simple. He just made a mistake, and I don't know if his bench coach Rob Thompson was yelling to him, hey, don't cross that line, or if Caleb Cotham was saying the same thing. But collectively, the manager and the coaching staff allowed it was a gaffe, and it's going to happen from time to time. It's not going to happen often. Thankfully, it didn't cost the Phillies, at that moment, because as you pointed out, Kinsler comes in and gets the job done. But mistakes happen. The game of baseball is slow right up until it's not. And I always talk about being in the booth and calling a game. You watch baseball games all the time. You start to try and call a baseball game, that thing speeds up really quick. And I think that's kind of what happened in the dugout. So, if that had been Gabe Kapler, I think it would have been a lot bigger topic of conversation in and around the city of Philly. Joe Girardi, he comes with a little street cred, so we kind of let him go.
Right.
And I think that's the way it should be. You know, guys are going to make mistakes from time to time. And like I said, I'm just glad it didn't cost them too much.
Right. And you know, we want to build up this roster, right, Murph? Well, in order to build up this roster, MCS Construction Services is the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. They supply both resident and commercial contractors, everything to include custom cabinetry. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Ask for your free estimate so you can get started with your MCS Construction Service experience. Performed with quality and safety. They are licensed and insured and are performing services throughout the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and even Maryland. Once again, reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. And we'll be right back after these messages.
With Murph and Sack.
You know, I'm sitting over here. Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch down here at the beautiful Philly Live Casino here at Sports and Social Bar. And, you know, we're kicking off this next segment with Brock Lesnar's theme music. And I can just look at Murph, who has no interest in professional wrestling whatsoever. But welcome back alongside my co-host here with Murph, Greg Murphy.
Who is this Brock Lesnar you speak of?
Come on, you at least know him.
I know who he is. I know him. Now, yeah, I'm not much of a wrestling guy. I know tons of folks that are. My buddy Greg Castriato from over at the Phils, our PR director over there, huge wrestling guy. So he's the guy that kind of keeps me up to date on what's happening in the wrestling world. But that's pretty much all I got.
Hey, man, night two of WrestleMania, you can sign up for it on Peacock TV, man. Go for it.
All right.
I'm going to get a review synopsis of night two from you next week.
You got it.
Hey, we asked the question, Murph, so why don't you do the question again real quick, and we'll give the answer for the trivia question.
Yeah, we have a winner for our trivia question. The question was, back on August 23rd, 09, Eric Bruntlett ended a game against the Mets with a triple play. We wanted to know who pitched the ball and who hit the ball in that particular instance, and we do have a winner. Yeah,
we do have a winner, and it's George Lou.
All right, George.
Now, George is a buddy of mine. I used to work with him, and it's George Luder is his full name. I don't know why he's going with George Lou, but the answer to the trivia question, Murph, would you like to do that before Jansen brings us in for a little clip?
Yeah, I would. All right, so Brad Lidge was on the mound for the Phils at that point, and my buddy Jeff Francoeur was the guy that hit into the triple play. And I understand that we're going to listen to the Mets side of the story. They weren't nearly as elated as Phillies fans were when this happened.
Oh, no, they weren't.
So, Jansen, go ahead. Hit us.
2-2. The runners go. Line drive caught by Bruntlett. He makes the tag. It's a triple play, and the ball game is over. Unassisted
You know, Murph, that takes me back to Citi Field that day. Me and Chad, we were at that game. And, man, that was – it was so deflating for Mets fans.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't get out of their seats any faster. it was unbelievable just to watch that experience.
What I remember about that play is the camera cut to Francoeur, who was just, like, kind of, like, looking around, like, wait, what just happened? What happened? He couldn't believe it. Yeah, well, we've ribbed him about that over the years.
Well, so, for those of you that were listening to last week's show, that was the hint that Murph had put out there for you guys, because right, we did talk about Jeff Francoeur on last week's program. So, you know, we'll keep on dropping those in from time to time. Congratulations, George, on the tickets. Again, Monday, April 19th against the San Francisco Giants. Thank you guys for playing, as always. And keep tuning in, because I love doing ticket giveaways. And like I said, we are giving people here at Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, and Bud Light Baseball Brunch.
That's what we do.
So, real quick, today's Phillies game will be on Sunday Night Baseball. Yep. So, as you said earlier, you were anticipating, after we were done here, you were going to go over to the ballpark, because the broadcast team is doing all the away games over at Citizens Bank Park. So you're going to go over and see some of your buddies, some of your friends, your former colleagues.
Yep.
And you were disappointed to find out we have Sunday Night Baseball. And not only is it Sunday Night Baseball, it's Sunday Night Baseball with Matt Moore versus Cliff Lee wannabe Drew Smiley. And as of right now, we do not have the lineups for tonight's game. So JT Realmuto, we're assuming he's going to be starting tonight because Andrew Knapp started in his place last night. So I'm not sure if there's going to be any more changes, but we need to come out with a W here to avoid a sweep.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see JT tonight. He just mashes against left-handers, so that you know that's that was part of the reason that I think we saw Andrew Knapp last night. A couple of things: Zach Eflin, Andrew Knapp seemed to work very well together, but also I think Joe was kind of anticipating that he's going to want JT over the next couple of days. So I think it's a good pitching matchup. You know, the Phils need to win. You know, this is a game the Phils need to win. They have been pretty dreadful on the road the last couple of years, and that has to change. You can't win a division if you can't win on the road. It won't happen. And they look real good here at Citizens Bank Park, but they've got to start figuring out a way to win on the road. Tonight, they need to salvage a game out of this series, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. No problem at all, especially when you're going in. You have a four-game set here coming up against the New York Mets, who want revenge for losing that series to us last week.
Yeah.
So, we were just speaking about former colleagues. So, one of your former colleagues, Tom McCarthy.
Yep.
He's notorious for the Oppo Boppo call. Now, I believe he got that from Brett Myers, if I'm not mistaken. I think Brett Myers was the one that started that, which actually he's going to be on your show this upcoming week, right?
Glove Stories? Brett Myers, it's going to be our podcast guest, Glove Stories with Murph. Thank you.
And I already pitched at Murph. I was like, you better be talking about that at bat against CC Sabathia. It needs to happen.
For sure.
But we are going to start a new segment here today called Boppo or Oppo.
Okay.
Now, the reason why we spun it around is because Slash is going to give us a statement, okay? And we are either going to agree with it, so in that case it would be Boppo, or we disagree with it, so it would be Oppo.
Got it.
Okay? So I've been wanting to tie Slash into the program, and the first couple weeks we haven't had the opportunity to bring him in here. So I think Jansen's had more words in the program than Slash so far. So Slash is going to point out the statements to us, kick it to you or kick it to me, and then we'll give each other's opinions on it. So, Slash, without further ado, Boppo or Oppo?
All right, Boppo or Oppo. I'll kick it to Murph first and then Sack. Let's start with the real Rhys Hoskins is back.
All right, I'm going to say Boppo because I think the real Rhys Hoskins is somewhere in between his first month and a half in the big leagues and what we saw over the last, in 2019 at the end and the beginning of 2020. So I think Rhys Hoskins is a very solid offensive major league player, and I think he's starting to turn the corner, starting to understand what kind of damage he can do in the middle of that lineup. So I'll say Boppo. He is back.
Murph, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Good.
I have to see him. I'm going to go Oppo here. I have to see him do it for a longer stretch of time. He is a notorious hot starter in the month of April. Okay, bats .293, highest on base percentage for any month is .420 in the month of April. That's where things start to dip when we get to May. Okay, .222 batting average and a .326 on base percentage. Those are numbers that don't get me overly excited. Yes, the first week of the season has you know, I love the fact that he's hitting the ball the other way and he's utilizing all fields. But I have to see it for a longer stretch of time, particularly in May.
Fair enough.
All right, the second one, I feel like this is year 14 of this guy. Vince Velasquez has the stuff to be a major league pitcher, but his issues are solely from the neck up. Murph?
I'm going to have to say Boppo. I was waiting for my cue. No, I have to agree with that statement. I mean, we talked about him in segment one. The guy's got plenty of stuff to pitch in the major leagues. Everybody that watches baseball can see that he's got the stuff. For whatever reason, he hasn't been able to put it together. I mean, it's easy to say it's between the ears, but with Vince, it might be. It might be. So I'll agree with that statement.
You keep on saying he has the stuff.
He does.
You know, it harkens me back. We're talking about wrestling, man. It's like Buff Bagwell. You know, he's buff. He's the stuff. Nah, man, listen, it's all from the neck up on Vince Velasquez. No doubt about it. I am right behind this statement. This is all Boppo Slash.
All right, on to the next one. Boppo or Oppo? When Zach Wheeler is on, unlike Friday night, and doesn't rip his fingernail zipping up his pants, he's the best starting pitcher on the staff. Murph.
Just had to get the zipper in there, right? I'm going to say Oppo. I'm still an Aaron Nola guy. I still think Aaron Nola has the stuff to be an ace. Now, Zach Wheeler is is right there. But if I have to choose between the two, I'll take Aaron Nola. Maybe by the end of the year, I'll have a different opinion, but that's what I'm going to say. So I say Oppo on that.
Who the hell wrote these statements? I have no idea. I don't know who put the zipper in there. But I'm going to say Boppo. I think he has the most electric stuff on the staff. When you can hit 98, 99 as you get further into the ball game, when he's right and he's getting the corners called for him, because the other night we were getting squeezed by the home plate umpire, that right there was a big reason why he kind of went off the rails a little bit in his second start. But he is so electric. He has better stuff than Nola. And when he's on, he is the ace of the staff, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I mean, it's hard to argue that. When he is on, he's as good as anybody in baseball. He really is. But I'll stick with Aaron for now.
Plus, he can hit.
Yeah, we can hit. That's true. Aaron cannot hit, so we've learned that over the years.
He's good at the sacrifice bunts.
He's getting better.
Give him credit.
All right.
All right. On to the next one. Boppo or Oppo Murph. Center field is to be the Phillies' number one concern through the first week plus of the season.
I would say Boppo on that. Thankfully, there haven't been all that many concerns, you know, through the first week. Although that second time around with the top three guys in the rotation, you know, does make you worry a little bit. But yeah, obviously, no one has come out and won this position yet. They were hoping Adam Haseley could do it. They were hoping Roman Quinn could do it. You know, Odubel Herrera is waiting in the wings. It is their number one concern as of right now. I would imagine if it continues this way, the front office is gonna have to address it at some point. So,
yeah, I got to go Boppo as well, because when I look at the bullpen, if the you know, your biggest worry is Vince Velasquez and David Hale, who really aren't going to be pitching quite often, more so in blowout games. And we've only seen Matt Moore once. I'm not gonna continue to bash him down. And Chase Anderson, he didn't pitch all that bad in his first start, being the number five starter. And then, you know, I don't think we can expect out of the rotation that with the top three guys, they're going to pitch like that the whole season. I think a lot of that is early season. It's a bit of an anomaly. The center field spot, I don't think the Phillies want to bring Odubel Herrera up. I think it's a bad PR move, particularly with the fans. So you don't want to make that move. And then Adam Haseley and Roman Quinn, both of them have not done anything as of yet. Adam Haseley had a terrible play against the Mets in the first series against them, where he backpedaled and then he came in too late on it. And then Roman Quinn, the guy just simply can't hit. Like, it's just one of those things where put the ball on the ground and just use your speed to get on base. This is Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah.
Okay? Start doing push-ups when you put the ball in the air, Roman.
And again, of course, that's exactly what they want Roman to do. Easier said than done. You know, putting the bat on the ball in Major League Baseball is a difficult thing to do. That said, that's what they need him to do, and if he's going to stay in the big leagues, he is going to need to figure that out, and figure it out quick, because this team can't afford to have a long leash with any of these guys. They have to figure out, they have to plug that hole, and they've got to do it relatively soon if they're going to want to contend. So, yeah, it's a concern for sure.
All right, the second to last one, because we are going to get to the last one.
Yes!
Major League Baseball has instant replay, but Michael Conforto's walk-off against the Marlins the other day was not reviewable. It's an absolute joke. Boppo or Oppo?
Well, Boppo, I totally agree. That was a disgrace. And you know how you know it was a disgrace? Because the Mets announcers, the hometown Mets announcers, Gary Cohen and Ron Darling, those guys, they were outraged at how that game ended. Conforto obviously leaned into that pitch. It was a strike. It would have been called a strike had it not hit him, and it only hit him because he leaned into it. For a game to end like that and for a team to lose like that, it shouldn't happen. And if you're going to have replay, then that has to be reviewed. And I understand why it wasn't reviewed, because technically you can't review that. However, that needs to be reviewed, or get rid of the review altogether and just go with the human
Correct.
Element and be fine with that, which I'd be okay with. But if you're going to have it, then use it the way it's supposed to be used to get the call right.
What I want to know is, since when the hell did Miguel Michael Conforto, since when did he become Barry Bonds? Because like the armor that he had on his elbow is just egregious.
Don't
it's
get
pathetic.
Me started.
Like,
with that.
Is he a knight in shining armor?
Yeah, he's certainly not the only guy that does that.
But certain players can get away with it because they are a certain stature. Like, Conforto does not belong in that category. I know he's the number three hole hitter for the Mets, and people want to go, eh. And he's a decent, he's a good ball player, don't get me wrong. But to be, to wear an elbow guard quite like that, and then just, it's a strike. It's almost down the middle of the plate.
Yep.
And to lean into it and to let it nick your elbow pad, and you take the base and the walk off like that. Like, I've never seen a walk off reaction quite like that. Like, you could tell the Mets weren't even really all that excited because I think they were expecting it to go to review.
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of scattered out throughout the infield. But it was pathetic. If you're going to have instant replay in baseball or in any sport for that matter, it's there for your benefit to get the call right. And if we continue to go down paths like this, Murph, I'm all for going to the electric umpire. You know, like and eventually it will happen, Murph. But this right here is just absolutely asinine for how a game can end that way. And I don't care about the Marlins. I don't care about their five fans. The only one that I care about is my boy Lewis down there in Florida, and he's a big Miami fan, but he loves Philadelphia. So I don't care about the Marlins fans. I just want to get the call right and get the game ended the right way instead of the wrong way.
Yeah, and you know, look, Phils are going to be battling the Mets all season long. If it comes down to one game and the Mets get into the postseason and the Phils don't, you don't think this is going to get talked about?
Man.
Can you imagine? But that's the bottom line. If you're going to have replay, which I hate, but if you're going to have it, then use it and get it right. Period.
So we're going to get to the last one here from Slash real quick, and then we have to dive into your live read. So let's try and wrap up this last one real quick, Murph.
All right.
Yeah, so Sack's already heated, so I can't wait to hear his take on this one. I'm just going to leave it at Gabe Kapler for his winning time of possession take for the Giants. Bapo or Oppo, Murph?
Well, Oppo. I will disagree with Gabe on the time of possession, but this isn't the first time that we've heard Gabe say stuff like that. And I know Sack
you think?
I know Sack is going to kill him. I said it on last week's show. I'll say it again. He looks at the game a little bit differently than we're all used to. And some of that is good. Some of it not so good. But oftentimes, I think Gabe doesn't always clearly explain what he's trying to say, and it comes out, and then he gets ripped for it. So I disagree with the time of possession in baseball idea. But okay. So go easy on Gabe.
We have a segment on Green Legion Radio called Kick Ass or Jackass. This right here is probably one of the most jackass things I've ever heard in my whole entire life. This guy continues to try and reinvent the wheel, okay? I keep on calling him. He is the Chip Kelly of baseball, okay? Time of possession. Chip Kelly didn't care for it, and this guy does. Let's just switch sports, gentlemen, because it is absolutely pathetic that he thinks that with his stopwatch, that winning time of possession, that he's going to win more games than he's not going to. This guy needs to get put back with his bottles of coconut oil onto the spaceship that he came from and go back to the planet where he came from. I don't understand.
But if we did that, then we wouldn't have anything to talk about. Zach, come on.
I know we've talked about him on every single show. We had a subtle, you know,
see?
Lead into him.
He's gotten in your head. That's what it is.
I've waited 2 years, Murph, to boo the crap out of this guy when he comes back with the Giants. But hey, we're talking about baseball here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Murph, talk a little bit about baseball on your end.
I will. Bucks County Baseball Company is a proud sponsor of Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy and Chris Sack. Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location to see their incredible selection of unique vintage sports items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and more. So again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, it's even bigger. So check out Bucks County Baseball Company, and we're happy to have them with the program.
Absolutely, and we'll be right back after these messages with more Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Don't you go anywhere. Sports and Social at the new Philly Live Casino here in South Philadelphia. It is a rainy day here in the Delaware Valley. Good thing the Phillies are playing down in Atlanta, Murph, because you know, I don't know if we'd be able to get some baseball action in today. But hey, Bud Light Baseball Brunch is part of the Green Legion Radio and Green Legion family. Remember, while our radio shows are growing by leaps and bounds, the bread and butter of the family is the experience you have with us when the Eagles or Phillies hit the road. We currently have a Fenway package from July 9th through the 12th. on the website. We are gearing up for an incredible Eagles road trip schedule, which will include Las Vegas, Denver, Dallas, Atlanta, Carolina, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and even a trip to the Dominican Republic for an awesome watch party weekend, either over the bye week or when we play the Giants. Go to greenlegion.com or contact the office at 215-666-5940. That is greenlegion.com or 215-666-5940. And if you guys are feeling froggy, I'll give out Quimby's phone number right now so you can get a hold of him directly.
Yeah, let's do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't forget. No. And the good news is I'm fired. So while we're here, we want to try and win you guys some money because it is a sports and social. We do have the FanDuel Sportsbook in the house. So last week, Murph and I, we gave you our three gambling plays for the day, only for Sunday, and both of us went 2-1. So if you did not play all six of our plays in a six-team parlay like Chad did last week for $20, you would have, if you would have done it individually, you would have came out on the winning side of things, Murph.
Yeah, that's right. You got to give us a little wiggle room. We're going to get one or two wrong, or, you know, you might. And
hey,
so you don't
hey.
Have to parlay everything. But, yeah, so let's try to win them some money again, huh?
Sounds great. Right. So three lines that we like. We can do either money line, run line, over under run over under run totals. I'm going to start off here. Mets. I hate doing this.
Yeah.
I hate the Mets. I despise the Mets. They lost yesterday with Jacob DeGrom on the mound. They have Marcus Stroman on the mound today. I'm taking the Mets with the money line against the Marlins at minus 176.
All right. I like that play, actually. All right. I'm going with the Red Sox-Orioles game. Our old buddy Nick Pivetta on the mound for the Sox. The Sox have won five in a row. They've been playing good
since
baseball.
Since you said they stink last week.
I still think they stink, but but whatever. But Pivetta goes out there today, and so because of that, we'll celebrate the over-under. I'm taking the over on this one. 9.5. Take the over. Both these teams can hit a little bit. And Nick, to his credit, pitched well in his first game, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see him slide back a little bit. So take the over 9.5.
And you're piggybacking off of me last week. I took the Orioles Red Sox
over. Right.
It was done by the third inning.
I remember you tweeted out that. I saw that.
My second selection for the week, I like the Minnesota Twins. -1.5, so they have to win by two runs or more. I like them to beat the Mariners. The Mariners stink. The Twins are a good baseball team, so cash that ticket in. They're going to win by two or more runs.
All right, I got Angels and Blue Jays. Once again, the Blue Jays finally came alive offensively yesterday. They put up 15 runs.
Too bad you didn't have that last Sunday,
Mark. I know. That would have been nice because that's the one I lost, right? But I believe in this Angels team. I think I'm on the record saying that they're going to be really good this year. This Blue Jays team offensively is pretty special. So, I'm taking the over. 10.5. It's a lot of runs.
Whew.
But I like 10.5 Angels, Blue Jays. You watch. They're going to blow right past that. Big afternoon up there in Toronto.
Okay, I'm going to walk
wherever
over.
They're playing,
I'm going to walk over to the kiosk right after the show, and I'm going to put my ticket in for that, Murph.
All right, good.
I like the Reds and the Diamondbacks over 9 runs. The Reds were cooled off a little bit yesterday, but that will not happen again. This Reds lineup is legit. They can hit. It's whether or not their starting pitching and their bullpen are going to hold up in the long run over the course of the season, and if they're going to remain in that race, which I think is a one-team race with the Cardinals. The Reds can make things interesting if they continue to hit the ball. Reds, Diamondbacks in the desert over 9 runs.
All right, and finally, the battle of the Graybeards, I'm calling this. Nats and Dodgers. Look at this pitching matchup. You got Scherzer.
I looked at the
Kershaw.
Pitching matchup.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you've got two guys who, you know, for years and years were at the top of their game, top of their profession. I think they've both kind of taken a little bit of a step back, but I believe in Scherzer a little bit more nowadays than I do in Clayton Kershaw. So I'll take the Nats getting 1.5. All right. So I'm taking the points, and I'll take the Nats, Scherzer bouncing back and pitching well against the Dodgers today.
Sounds great. Make sure you guys get those plays in, and if you lose, you can't blame us.
That's right.
We are not professionals. We'd like to think that we are, but we're not. So let's go into another exciting edition of Can You Believe It? I have a third one this week, and you have two. Two things each that we both found interesting through the last week of Major League Baseball. I'm going to go first. For a team in their 138th season, the Phillies started the season 5-1 for the sixth time in the live ball era, according to Jason Stark. Made the World Series in 1993, great year. Made the playoffs in 2010 and 2011, didn't end in a great year. Missed the playoffs in 2019, and the painful year for older Phillies fans would like to forget, 1964.
Yeah.
Where will 2021 take us? We'll find out by the end of the season. Hopefully, it leads to a playoff appearance. That'd be great to have.
Yeah.
What do you have for me, Murray?
All right. 5-1 start is always a good thing for a team, so we'll take it. All right. Mine are both kind of like feel good stories, and I got a lot of talk nationally. Trey Mancini of the Baltimore Orioles coming back from stage 3 colon cancer, diagnosed before the season last year, missed all of last year after having a terrific 2019. He comes back this year. He's in remission. He is healthy, getting his baseball body back as well. Hits his first home run of the season the other day in the first inning. And you know what? I think you don't have to be a baseball fan to realize just what that means to somebody. He said he was pressing a little bit because he was trying to show that he was the same player that he was back in 2019. But he got that monkey off his back, hits the home run, and you can't help but celebrate that. Good for him. I hope he stays healthy and has many, many good years in the bigs.
Wonderful story. Wonderful story for sure. Here's another fun one for you. Tigers outfielder Akil Baddoo was selected by the Tigers from the Twins in the 2020 Rule 5 draft and had himself quite the week, Murph. Last Sunday, hit a home run on the first pitch he saw in his career. Followed that up with his first career grand slam on Monday. Then he had a walk-off single in the 10th inning on Tuesday, and then hit an RBI triple in his first at-bat on Wednesday.
Not a bad day.
That's
not a bad week.
That's a solid week at the office for sure, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That it was good. You know, he'll come back down to earth a little bit. That's going to happen. But when you watch some of these guys do these things, it's fun. Again, if you're a fan of the game of baseball, you know how hard this game is. When guys are able to do stuff like that, it's cool to celebrate them. And speaking of, how about celebrating the first no-hitter in San Diego Padres history.
Incredible.
53 years of baseball in San Diego. They never had a no-hitter until the other night when Joe Musgrove was able to shut down the Rangers down in Texas. In fact, the only blemish on his box score that night was a hit by pitch, or he would have had a perfect game, but he was outstanding down there. He gets the no-hitter. He's a local kid from San Diego, grew up watching the Padres, and now pitches their first no-hitter again. Such a great story. You never know what you're going to see when you come to the ballpark, and there you go, Joe Musgrove.
You know what else is fun about that is the catcher of the game. Victor Caratini was behind the plate for the no-hitter. He also caught the most recent no-hitter in Major League Baseball last season when Alec Mills of the Cubs pitched a no-hitter. He's the first catcher in Major League Baseball history to catch back-to-back no-hitters.
That's cool.
For two separate teams.
Yeah, two separate teams, but just, you know, most catchers will never catch a no-hitter. He's caught two in consecutive seasons with two different teams. Very cool. Very cool.
And then my last one, which I came across on Twitter this morning, Tim LeCastro, he has started his Major League Baseball career by stealing 28 straight bases without being caught to start his career. Great thing, his cleats are going to Cooperstown. He's from upstate New York, so he's from that area, the Cooperstown, New York. The base he gave to his mother after the game, that's pretty
awesome.
Cool. Now, the record that he broke was a mark set by Hall of Famer Tim Raines, who stole 27 in a row from 1979 to 1981. Records have been kept since 1951, so not sure, you know, before that. So since 1951, this is the mark. And let's see here. He grew up in upstate New York, and, yeah, that's where I'm going to end it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome stuff.
You're way too young to remember Tim Raines and what he used to do against
the Phils. I just remember him with the Expos.
Oh, man, he was so much fun to watch. What a guy that just made things happen. There aren't enough players like that nowadays in Major League Baseball, so maybe this kid doing something special with 28 stolen bases, maybe teams start to realize, hey, you know what? This is a way to win baseball games. That's the way they used to do it. Back in the 70s and the 80s. Now I sound like an old man. But that was a good way to play baseball. We've gotten away from that, and it's cool to see. 28 straight. Nice job.
So that is another edition here of Can You Believe It? And we have about a minute left here, Murph. So let's take a look at the week ahead. We're going to wrap the series with the Braves. We have four in a row with the Mets. The Mets 3, 4, and 5 starters, and then DeGrom in the Thursday finale matinee up there in Citi Field. And then back home with 3 against the St. Louis Cardinals and the red-hot new addition, Nolan Arenado. It's a big week for us. No days off, so we're going to have plenty to talk about next Sunday.
Yeah.
What stands out to you as far as the week ahead?
Well, you know, you got to win some of these games. We already talked about it. You got to learn to win on the road. This team has not proven they can do that. Well, certainly not this year, but you go last year, even 2019. This team needs to start figuring that out because they can't get where they want to be if they're not going to win games on the road. So it's not an easy schedule. We knew that coming right out of the gate. You finally get a breather maybe when the Giants come to town, a little bit of a breather. But until then, man, you're playing some of the best teams in baseball. So, hey, win half, win a little bit more than half, come out with a winning record when this is all said and done on the road, and you're putting yourself in good shape. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the one thing I saw when you said DeGrom pitching on that Thursday afternoon getaway day, you know, you'd never want to see DeGrom, but as a guy that was traveling with the team for a while there, when you had the two aces on the mound on a getaway day, nothing better than that, because you get out of there, you get on the plane or get on the bus, and you get back home. Invariably, they would end up throwing in a clunker and you'd be there for 5 hours.
Yeah.
But big week. Let's win a game in Atlanta tonight and then go to New York and take care of the Mets, because you want to come back home with that good feeling you left with when you left Philadelphia.
Sounds great. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up this edition of Bud Light Baseball Brunch down here at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino in South Philadelphia. Thank you all for listening in across all platforms and to our crowd that came out here today. We look forward to doing it again next week. Thanks again, and have a great rest of your Sunday and your week.